What's up, everybody? This is the Weird Story Bro podcast, and we're going to talk about weird stories. And I'm the bro, I guess. My name's Big Nate, and I hope you enjoy this. But before we jump into this podcast today, let's have a word about our sponsor, Anchor. Stay tuned. Hello, and welcome to the Weird Story Bro podcast. I'm your host, Big Nate, and today, on our weird journey, we're going to learn about the lives of Jennifer and June Gibbons, aka the Silent Twins. In the month of April in 1963, in a place called Aden, Yemen, a very normal delivery took place. Now, twins aren't exactly common in most cases, but not out of the ordinary. The birth wasn't the odd part of this story, though. That was normal. It's the life that the two girls would lead that immortalized their title, the Silent Twins. June and Jennifer, in their toddler years, began speaking to each other in a made-up language that they had developed, and no one but themselves could understand it. Their parents, Gloria and Aubrey Gibbons, knew right away that these girls were going to be a bit different than the other kids at their school. The girls seemed a little delayed in their ability to communicate with others, but they were fluent in the made-up language that they used to talk to one another in. You see, the Gibbons family had moved from Barbados to Great Britain in the 1960s, and they commonly spoke English in their home. And the girls didn't. They just walked around speaking in the gibberish that only each other could understand. This made it very hard for anyone to communicate with them. But as they grew older, there would be even more peculiarities. Couldn't pronounce that right. There would be even more peculiarities that helped distance them from others. You see, the girls would mimic one another and stayed attached to the hip wherever they went. They would only stare at people that spoke to them, and they went off alone to themselves all the time. Because of this, the girls were bullied at school and had to leave early just to avoid the harassment from their fellow classmates. The school allowed this, thinking that it would help avoid the bullying. Yeah, never mind fixing the bullying problem. Just tell the girls to leave early and avoid the bullies. That doesn't make any sense. Anyway, the girls would wake up and play a game some days where they would swap identities and couldn't stop with the game until both girls traded back their identities. They were becoming a singular unit, even though they were two separate people. The twins look alike, but they still should have their own individualism. That's just normal, but not in this case. This way of acting would only strain them mentally and lead them down to more problems further on down the line. In 1974, a medic named John Reese took an interest in the girls when giving them a checkup that was set up by the school that the girls attended. Their behavior, well, disturbed him, and he believed that they needed help. You see, the school brushed his request for this off to the side, though, and so he had to seek help from a child psychologist who put the girls in therapy almost immediately. So even though they got a therapist, the girls refused to talk to anyone. No matter what specialist they would see, they wouldn't communicate with them, so nothing was coming of it. Until a speech therapist named Ann Treharn came on the scene. She got the girls to agree to her recording them if she would leave the room. And so this worked, and she was able to listen to their conversations with one another. After a time, though, Treharn got the vibe that June was willing to open up, but she could tell that Jennifer wouldn't let her. It was almost like Jennifer was in control of June, and as the therapist put it, almost as if she had possession of her. It was decided that they must be separated so that they could become individual people, but this didn't go well at all. After being sent to separate boarding schools, the two girls became even more reclusive and wouldn't speak to anyone. They basically just existed and would just stay away from everybody. It was pretty much a bust. This didn't work. So they decided to reunite the two sisters. Now, once together again, the girls became even more attached and would just go off alone and isolate themselves from everybody else. They would only write letters to communicate with their family and basically created their own reality in their room with their dolls. They would tell stories and make up fantasies and just lived within their imagination with one another. And this went on and on into their teenage years. One Christmas, the girls were given a diary each, and the two began writing their make-believe stories down in them and found that they loved to write. And so they filled the pages with story after story and eventually wanted to publish a book. And they did this very thing, but the stories weren't well received because they were pretty dark ideas. As an example, one story was about a teenager being seduced by her teacher. Not exactly the light reading type of material for most people to pick up. So after the girls finished their book and put it out there for anybody to be able to read, they kind of got bored with the idea of just staying in their room all the time, and they wanted to quit writing about a world outside of theirs, and they wanted to experience the actual world for themselves. And so they left their room, left their home, and decided to explore a little bit. So they started going out and doing different things. They went from completely reclusive to jumping right into the world. But they kind of did this in the wrong way. They started doing things like experimenting with drugs and alcohol, right? I mean, I'm not a genius by any means, but it doesn't take one to understand that someone that's dealing with some of the issues these girls are dealing with, going from completely reclusive like that and then jumping into the world and then just throwing drugs and alcohol into the mix, you don't have to be a genius to figure out that's not a good thing. And so that also led to them committing crimes, typically arson. And they got in trouble for setting fire to people's establishments and property. And so in 1981, they actually got arrested for this. So it just seems like they just went, you know, hog wild, so to speak. You know, and it just didn't end well for them. And so they were sent to a mental institution called Broadmoor, that was a maximum security facility for people with mental issues. And obviously not many people are going to like that, and the girls were no exception to that. They hated it immediately. They were given medication, and they weren't allowed to be reclusive. So they were being medicated, taking drugs that you know, were supposedly meant to help with, you know, mental issues. And they couldn't just hibernate away from everybody else together. They wouldn't allow them to do that like they did at home. They're not going to pamper them there in that way. And so this was hard on both of them. They couldn't retreat together away, you know, from their problems in this point. You know, they had to be around other people. They had to do what they were told. And so it was hard for them. The only thing that helped them cope with this was to write. And they would write down in their diaries. Each individual girl had their own individual diary. And they would record their thoughts in every page. And that would later give us insight as to what was going on with them internally. And so the way that they thought and the way that they perceived things. There was a journalist named Marjorie Wallace who heard of the girls and took an immediate interest in them. Who wouldn't, right? And so she went to the family of the girls and was given access to their bedroom that would, you know, that was famous for the Silent Twins, right? This was the Silent Twins' bedroom where they had stayed most of their childhood. And so she took their stories and was so amazed at the creativity these girls had with their writing. She had to meet them, so she set out for Broadmoor. And little by little, she put a chink in their armor, so to speak, and the girls began to open up to her. She grew attached to them, and they began a friendship together. The happiness would be overshadowed somewhat by what Wallace would soon read in their diaries, though. Both girls, though attached to one another deeply, seemed to hate each other, and even in some points, there's record of them physically attacking each other. They wrote horrible things about the other and almost seemed to be trapped together is the way that they perceived their relationship. One day, while visiting, Wallace was told something very troubling by Jennifer. Jennifer told her that one of them must die in order for the other one to live properly. Jennifer claimed that she was going to be the one that would. And Wallace told the facility, obviously, what she was told, but they didn't really believe anything she said. Well, they didn't believe it as serious, just something to overlook. So the girls were to be transferred to a different facility, and it was a more comfortable one, right? It was going to be something a little more comfortable, cozy, not a maximum security facility. But during the transition, Jennifer passed away mysteriously. She simply laid her head on June during this transfer, and then she never woke up again. Apparently, her heart had major swelling around it, but they couldn't find the reason. She had no poisons or new medication. She'd been taking the same medication since she had been put into the facility she was in, and had no signs of trouble. And she's 29 years old. So this is a very odd thing for her to have just passed away as she did. It was almost as though she just decided her own fate, and that was that, because she told that that was what was going to happen. After her sister passed, June became a different person almost instantly. She began talking and leading a normal life, blew everybody away. It was a night and day difference, and no one could believe it. It was as if Jennifer had literally passed on so that June could be her own person and start over. That just seems to be how the story was written. June mourned her sister greatly and showed that they truly loved one another, even though they seemed to have an underlying disdain for one another by their writings, because they would write about how they couldn't stand looking at each other. In an interview, they asked June why she and her sister had been so silent for almost 30 years, and she simply said, "We made a pact as kids," is what she told them, and that pact was that they would not speak to anyone. Wow, what a wild ride, eh? This is the end of the story today, okay? And I hope that you find this just as fascinating and as weird as I do. So, tune in on Mondays for your weekly dose of weird, and until the next time, remember this, never be normal unless you want to be boring. Anyway, God bless, have a good one, see you next time.